Brilliant. So I'm going to speak from the first reading this morning, and that's the reading in Galatians. And we're going to be looking at the spirit of adoption. It's something I'm quite passionate about and I love speaking about, so do bear with me. But last week we had Malcolm share about, asked us the question, what is church? What do you see the church as? And we rather unpacked in the simplicity of what church is actually it's family. And I don't know about you, but I went back and I listened to the message again because I think it's just something so wonderful to remember that there is this real simplicity that we're family. We're brothers and sisters who get to love one another. But how do we become members of this family? How do we join this church as such? Do we become members because we were born into the church? Our parents went to church and we was born and we went along to church every week with our parents. So we must be part of the family. We must be part of this church. Do we become members because we tithe some of our money to the church? We're on the electoral roll. I read the vicar's letter. Is that how we become members of this church? Well, in a way, in this reading in Galatians, they are grappling with this same question. How do we become these chosen people of God? How do we become this church? And they too are looking at ways in which they can be this church. They're grappling with issues of how do we perform circumcision? Should you be circumcised or not circumcised? They're grappling with, like, well, you need to be acting in a certain way. If you act this way in public, then that makes you a member of the family. They're building all these loopholes and these ways in which you can become a member of the family. And I love Paul. I love Paul's bluntness. Because he's quite gentle with them in the beginning, and then we get to chapter 3. And he says this to the Galatians. In the NLT version, he says, "You foolish Galatians, are you under some evil spell or something? You foolish Galatians, you're looking at the things of the world to qualify you as this family." And then he reminds them, you know the story. You know that Jesus came for you. And how are you made heirs? How are you made children? How are you made members of this family? Through the sending of the Holy Spirit into your hearts. That we don't naturally become members of this family or this church, but it's birthed through the Holy Spirit. Because this church isn't a natural one, is it? It's not just man-made. We're in a miraculous community, a supernatural community. The church was built through the Holy Spirit. It's not that Jesus said to the disciples, "I'm going now, so go. You need to go off and work really hard at building a church." He said, "No, I'm going now, and wait." Wait for what? The Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, it was through the Holy Spirit that the church was formed. So that's how we become members of this church. And I don't know about you, but that brings relief to my soul. That it's not by effort by me or through really good works, but it's through faith in Him and the infilling of His Holy Spirit that I become your sister in Christ. We are in a supernatural community, birthed through the Holy Spirit. And for me, this spirit of adoption that we read about is the heart of the gospel for me. When I first became a Christian, I obviously was presented with a Bible, and I would read the stories in the gospels. I would read the message of Jesus, and I was just so taken aback how God would take people so far away from Him and would bring them in and build them up. He would adopt them as his own children. So when I look at the gospel, I see this adoption happening. And Mark and I, quite early on, we were dating at the time. He hadn't yet proposed, but we was having those serious questions. And we would gather together and we would talk about God. And he says, like, what do you see when you read the Gospels? And I was like, I don't know, but all I know is there's something in me that wants to respond. And we started to talk about adoption, about when we have children one day, should we adopt? That was our response to this good news of the spirit of adoption. And Mark and I currently, some of you may know, but we're on the journey of adoption. People keep checking with me, you're adopting a dog? I'm like, no, a real life human. That we're on the process of adopting, because for us, that's the response that the gospel has called us to. We're passionate about being mothers and fathers of a community, and that's why we've stepped into church leadership, but we're also passionate about physically adopting a child. Because for us, that's got to be our response to the good news that we are spiritually adopted by God. And I'll be blunt with you, the process is brutal. Very brutal. We're going to panel in March and we would value your prayers. But on this journey that we've had of adoption so far, where our lives have been ripped open, where I think anybody who's come in contact with us has to write a reference. And one day I was at this training day, and it was the day where they see it's the survival of the fittest, where they give you the horror stories of what you're going to be setting yourself up for. And I went to the toilet and I sobbed, because I thought, I am not enough, Lord. I can't do this. And in that little toilet, the Holy Spirit came into that little toilet and said, I know you can't do it, but I can. So we're not called to plant an orphanage somewhere, but we're called to adopt. And that's what me and Mark feel our response is to the gospel. And during this process of all the hard parts, the ups and downs, we've been reminded of the lengths that our Father God went to adopt us. He might not have cried in a toilet, but he had moments where he had to surrender the whole of himself in order to come and adopt us as his children. But the gospel isn't humans adopting humans. That's not the gospel. It's not me and Mark being good people and going out and adopting an orphan child. The heart of the gospel is God the Father adopting humans. And me and Mark are simply on the route of adoption to demonstrate to this child that there is an invitation open to them of the real adoption, of that they can be spiritually adopted by their Father God. A psalmist rather eloquently put it in Psalm 27:10. He says, my mother and father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Me and Mark aren't going to provide enough for this child. We will forsake them to a degree. But the Lord will take them in. The ultimate adoption is one between God and humans. In John 14, God promises us this. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. So looking at Galatians, I just want to pull out a few parts of what the spirit of adoption can mean to us here today. And the first is this, when I look at Galatians, is adoption happens because it's needed. Adoption happens because it's needed. There's no child in physical adoption that finds themselves in foster care for the fun of it. They're in foster care because they need adopting. They're in a place where they're not being nurtured, they're not being provided for, they're not being loved. They need adopting. They need someone who will raise them. And Paul reminds the Galatians of this. He says in verse 3, "We were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world." Then it goes on to say that we might receive adoption. That before they received this spirit of adoption, they were under slavery. They were under the yoke of the father of darkness, if you like. They were orphaned from the father of light. And Paul reminds the Galatians of this state that they are in. When he says, "Are you under some evil spell?" You're not under this spirit. You're under this place of not knowing that you are adopted by this God. And it's that we might receive the invitation, that we might respond to the invitation. And in a way, we can be the same. We found ourselves in the dominion of darkness. We were orphaned from God, set away from him. Then we can find ourselves in the same place spiritually, that we find in this place where we're not loved, where we're not nurtured, where we don't know the love of the Father. On one of our training days, we had a child psychologist who came to just scare us, I think. And he had something really helpful. He said that inside every human being, when they are born, from the moment they are born, and he said even from the womb, he said that there's this deep questioning from every human, and the question is this: am I loved? Am I loved? That's the deep questioning of every human being. Am I loved? And after we are born, am I loved? That question gets answered through how we're nurtured, of how we're raised, how we're caressed and tended to by our parents. That question starts to be answered. Am I loved? Yes. Am I loved? No. And so the opposite of the spirit of adoption, when this question isn't answered in our spirit by the Holy Spirit, we can be walking in an orphan spirit. We can be walking around with that questioning in our hearts, am I loved? And in a way, the Galatians are displaying this orphan spirit. They don't know that they're loved. They don't know that they don't have to do all of these things in order to be the children of God. They're displaying an orphan spirit because the orphan spirit says, "This is mine. I'm not sharing." And this is what the Galatians are doing. This is our thing. We're not sharing this. They start to build things about religiosity that makes them something. They put loopholes in for everybody else and for themselves. They look to the worldly and earthly things of the world to validate themselves. And that is the orphan spirit. And we too can operate with that orphan spirit. We can operate under this spirit that, and you can have the orphan spirit whether you've never been in church or you've been in church for 100 years. We all have that spiritual, that inner child asking, am I loved? Am I loved? And this orphan spirit can display itself in sometimes socially acceptable ways, in can be perceived as good things. The orphan spirit, that they need that question of am I loved, so they step into perfectionism. If everything is perfect, someone will affirm me and it will answer that little question burning in my spirit. We might try to do everything for ourselves. I have no one to fend for me, so I will fend for myself. We might be performance-based. It looks quite good. It's that person who's always helping, going above and beyond. But it can sometimes be the orphan spirit because you want that act to answer the question of, am I loved? And then sometimes that question of am I loved can turn to a declaration. It can turn to the declaration of, I am not loved. I'm not loved. And when we come into that place of the orphan spirit where we declare, I am not loved, that's where we start to display our orphan spirit. We might find it in the bottom of a bottle. We might find it in acts of rage or anger. We might find it in self-destruction or just giving up. But the good news is this: God doesn't leave us as orphans, but he comes to take us home. God sent his Holy Spirit to testify to our spirit, to answer that question, am I loved? And the Spirit comes in and says, yes, you are. And when that Spirit testifies with that little questioning child that's inside every single one of us, our response is, Daddy, Father. So we all need adopting. We all need to go from the spirit of being an orphan to being adopted. And one of the other things that needs to happen is that we become legally God's child. We're legally his. There is a legal status that needs to happen, both for physical adoption and for spiritual adoption. As much as I would like to just walk into the nearest foster home and grab a child, I cannot. I will be put away for something like that. We cannot do it. There needs to be a legal transaction. And there are legal realities that God had to deal with, that his own law and justice demanded. And it was the sacrifice for our sin. He says in verse 4 and 6, he reminds the Galatians of them already being legally children of God. He says this: but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, you see what he's saying here? You're already his sons. You're already legally his because of what Jesus has done. That God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, that we might cry out, Abba, Father. Jesus came into the world to rescue us from our sins, to take us from the dominion of darkness into his wonderful light, into the life of his kingdoms. The legalities of this adoption didn't happen in a courtroom, but it happened on a cross. We are his. You are legally his children. It says in Romans 5:8-11, let me read, I love this, that it just speaks of how we are his children. That God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For whilst we were still enemies, whilst we were still orphans, we were still far off, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Legally, we can be his. That God the Father went through the legal formalities that we might go from spiritual orphans to spiritual sons and daughters. Jesus came to die a death and rise to new life, that he might walk into the orphanages or the foster homes of our spirit, of our hearts, that Jesus can walk in with the legal contract written in his blood saying, they're mine. They belong to me. And then he sends his Holy Spirit through the invitation. He says, do you want it? You're legally mine. Do you want it? Do you want to be my son, my daughter? Do you want to come home with me? And if we say yes, he sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And as stated in Romans, that it comes into our hearts and it testifies with our spirits, with that little child, that questioning child says, I am loved. You are my Father. I'm coming home with you. And then the most beautiful declaration, and Paul's trying to drive this home to the Galatians, that you will cry out, Abba, Father. The most intimate declaration we can have about God. It literally means daddy. It's what a little child would say to their dad,
Abba.
Abba, Abba. I loved one. I went to Israel on a trip and it was beautiful. The whole plane trip was just little children saying, Abba, Abba. It's the most intimate declaration we can have that God is our Father. He is our Abba. John 8:35 says that the slave does not remain in the house, but a son and daughter remains forever. That when we become his children, we get to remain forever in his love and in his house. That God has also, in verse 7, made us heirs. Everything that is his is ours. And most of our adoption process, we have to do home study for our adoption process. And do you think it's for the pre-adoption? No. It's for the post-adoption. It's for when the rubber hits the road, when this orphan knows that they're legally ours and they can come home and live with us. But this is where the tough stuff happens, is learning to live as a child of God who knows that their Father loves them. So it needs to walk in the spirit of adoption is to daily live in the Father's house, to know that we remain in his love all the days of our lives, that we turn away from the old ways of an orphan and into the new ways as a son and daughter. And one of the practical processes you have to do for an adopted child is you have to let them know that everything in this house is theirs. You can say, you can go in that fridge anytime, son. You, if you're hungry, go and make a sandwich. The juice is yours. You can come and cuddle me at any time in the night. Because it's teaching these children that everything we have in this home is theirs. We do have to hide the alcohol. But it's that they're learning that they belong here. That everything that my mum and dad has also belongs to me. To them. So we need to learn to walk in this spirit of adoption. We need to learn to walk in the daily outpouring of this Holy Spirit in our lives, that we don't step in to being an orphan, of grabbing what we can, of judging others because you're scared something might be taken away from you, but we can step into this place where we receive the affection and the affirmation of the Father, and we can live in the kingdom of God where everything is ours. The fridge is open all the time in the kingdom of God. And it's not an easy way of life. If you've come out of a place where you've lived as an orphan for so long, you're choosing a new way. You're choosing to abide daily in the presence of God. That we are heirs. Isn't that wonderful news? We're adopted by Father God. We're no longer orphans, but we are children of God. So I just want to pick out a couple of practicalities for us, because you can say, well, that's nice, but what do we do with it? Well, first and foremost, enjoy it. Enjoy being a child of God. Enjoy the experience of the infilling of his Holy Spirit, that we don't just have to look with knowledge that he loves us, but our innermost being knows that he loves us. So if you say, yes, Lydia, I feel that way. I feel that I really am adopted. I know what you mean by that infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you with this. James 1 verse 27 says, pure religion before God the Father is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Pure religion, that's literally the external evidence of an inward God in us. Go and visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So if you know, yes, I feel adopted by God. I know his love and I live in it every day. Go and demonstrate it to someone who does not yet know it. Go and love them. You might even want to consider fostering or adoption yourself. But we have many ways in which we do this, in which we demonstrate the reality of the spiritual adoption. Hope Supper is one of them. Hope Supper is where we get to demonstrate of what it is to be in a family, of what it is to eat together and to enjoy one another. Horizon Lunch is one as well. There's many ways in which we can go out and demonstrate to someone of a spiritual reality that they are adopted children of God. And then the other one is, do you feel maybe I am an orphan? I recognize that questioning child. I recognize that some of my behaviors actually is working for the affirmation of the Father. I'm always looking over my shoulder in fear that I might be kicked out at any time. So I keep my little suitcase and I never unpack it. You might feel that actually I am that person. Now I want to encourage you, that I'd love to pray for you at some point, but I would encourage you to simply read the Word of God and know that you are legally His, and then take a moment in your week and simply open your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come into my life, show me the Father. And I guarantee you will know what it is to be adopted as His children. Amen. I'm going to finish with a prayer for us, and it's more of a declaration over us. So especially if you felt that maybe I do have the spirit, the orphan spirit, I want you to just close your eyes and listen to these words and allow them to sink deep into your heart. It's a letter, it's called the Father's Love Letter, came out 20 odd years ago. But it's all scripture put together, and it's a letter for you. So I want you to hear this letter from God the Father to you. So let us close our eyes and open our hearts. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day that you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me, but I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I will meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could ever possibly imagine, for I am your great encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. And one day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate us from our love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been your Father, and I will always be your Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, Abba, your Daddy, Almighty God. Amen.